Welcome to The Rink, your source for hockey talk without the entitlement. I'm James Tape Lake Graylian. It's a two-parter this time, two from Texas. Part one, I'm talking with Ben Ellis from Big D Hockey about Texas hockey. In part two, I'll be talking to James O'Brien of Cycle Like the Sedins. Did you miss me? I know I did. Welcome to The Rink.
I'm talking to Ben Ellis. Ben is, primarily I'd say that you are a Texas hockey guy.
I am.
You have, Ben has a website called Big D Hockey. Big D, what, because Dallas or?
Originally it started off as a Dallas Stars blog. Mm-hmm. You know, being a big Dallas Stars fan, that was my first venture onto the internet to try and tell everybody about why the Stars were the best team ever. As you know, so few people have opinions on internet. I thought that mine was needed.
Well, you know, there are so few bloggers out there that actually think that their team is the best team ever. I mean, it's a rare occurrence.
It's a rarity. I saw a market and I tried
you
to seize
in
it.
There. Big D Hockey, though, is about Texas hockey. One of my favorite little, one of my favorite things to tell hockey fans elsewhere, and one of Texas hockey fans' favorite things to tell any hockey fan, is that Texas has the most professional hockey teams out there. Is it like 11 right now?
With professional, it sounds 11 sounds right.
Okay.
If you don't count for professional. Yeah.
Professional.
If you're not counting any junior or anything like that.
Right. So. And there's only one junior, is that right? Tornado?
We have Wichita Falls as well. Wichita Falls has a team. I'm not super familiar with the amateur teams, but that does ring a bell. I'm pretty sure they're still there. So,
but the Central Hockey League, I've been on a little bit of a Texas hockey tour recently. Seeing Central Hockey League, a little bit of AHL, a little bit of I'm gonna see. No, just pretty much CHL and AHL. I forgot. I thought I was gonna see some ECHL, but that's gone. That's gone away. I've talked with Jason Cohen, author of Zamboni Rodeo. I got
nice
to see a game with him. He's a great guy. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we kind of talked a little bit about Texas hockey. But Texas hockey is like – there seems like there's a Texas brand hockey in a way. It's hard hitting, but at the same time, like, Texas kind of has gotten its own – hockey style in a way. Would you agree?
I would agree. I feel a little nervous following the man who literally wrote the book on Texas hockey.
Oh, come on.
Zamboni Rodeo. But
we sat in the back of a Spokane Chiefs game with a recorder and talked to, while they were Zamboning the ice. So, come on. It's okay.
Fair enough. No, absolutely. I'd say that Texas does have a style. And there's a reason that I think seven of those 11 teams are CHL teams. The CHL has the most number of teams, I think, as far as one state goes, certainly, in Texas. And it's, it's nearly half of their team, half of the league is in Texas at this point, which is certainly a change from over the years. It's kind of drifted all over the place, but a lot of it's settling in Texas.
They expanded kind of far. They went with Youngstown for a little while, had a couple of years in there.
And Youngstown,
folded.
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis moved in, and then, now they're a junior team. I mean, I just went to the Central Hockey League All-Star game.
Yes.
And it was South Texas versus the rest of the league. And, half of the rest of the league, of course, is in Texas. So it's like Texas versus some of North Texas. Yeah.
It was a mainly Texas affair for sure. And looking at that on paper, I was nervous. I was nervous for South Texas. I said, boy, you guys, you're facing, the other 12 teams or so in the league. And you're pulling from three teams that none of them, I don't think, are in the top three in any of, I think Laredo's down. They're normally, powerhouse of hockey. CHL, when you think of the CHL, a lot of people think of Terry Ruskowski down in Laredo and the teams that he's put together. But I was a little nervous for him, but they wow. I don't think anybody was expecting the turnout that CHL All-Star game
had.
Yeah,
it turned out to be a little bit of blowout. At first, it seemed like it was going to be a low-scoring affair, but yeah.
That third period.
Now, the Texas, it seems weird to say that Texas has a rich hockey history, but it seems like all these individual smaller places have their own little hockey history. Thinking about Austin, who now has the Texas Stars AHL team, which is the farm team for Dallas, had the Austin Ice Bats for a long time. You look down at was it Amarillo, and they've had several teams throughout the years. But what do you think it is that makes that brings Texans to hockey like, I guess, no other state?
You know, I've often said that they identify, I think, with Canadians, and that the kind of honesty and hard work ethic that you look at the CHL. You may find a couple of international players, and you'll find a bunch of Americans, but for the most part, you've got a lot of Canadians playing in the league, as you do in across all the leagues. It's a lot. It's a Canadian game. It really is. It's a world game, but I mean, the Canadians have just been so dominant for so long, and they've got so many great communities that produce great hockey players. I think the Texans can kind of identify with the work ethic that these players have. They watch them play on ice. They hear them interviewed. There's a certain honesty to the game. There's a certain amount of, refreshing change from some of the sports figures you see. Even at the pro level, you see a lot more willingness to take responsibility for things. It comes down to that to a certain amount, and I'd say that it's also, the CHL is a great fit because it's a rough and tumble league.
It is, yeah.
And I think that there's still a little bit of Old West out here, maybe, I like to see people, play a physical game. It doesn't necessarily need to be a fight every game, but you want to see them play physical and hit hard. And there's certainly a lot of that in the CHL.
Yeah, there is. Oddly enough, I've been to four minor league games, excluding the Central Hockey League All-Star game down here in Texas. And so far, no fights in all four games. Wow. I don't know why.
Wow. Yeah, you've hit some. I
have a mellowing effect.
I will say that there's the play of late, pretty much across a lot of the games that I've seen, I'll be the first to admit I don't see a lot of the Texas CHL teams as much as I should. But I think fighting's down here for the last month or so. For whatever reason, it's a little bit down. So maybe everybody's in the holiday spirit.
I guess so, yeah. Even though it seems like in the last couple of days there's been a few NHL games where there's been three fights a game.
Yeah.
I think there were three fights in the Vancouver versus Minnesota game.
That sounds
another
right.
Another one the next day was the same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of funny. Yeah. The other thing with Texas hockey for me is that when I hear about the people talk about the Gary Bettman Southern hockey experiment, they always talk about Atlanta. Of course, they throw in Phoenix because of its recent troubles, Florida, even Tampa Bay. But they always seem to gloss over Dallas.
Yes, they do.
And Dallas seems like that success story that nobody really wants to acknowledge.
It is, and I guarantee you that there are a lot of hockey fans here in Dallas that are annoyed by that on a regular basis. Yeah. But it is. It's, people are so willing to say that, there's no room for hockey in the southern communities. And the only reason that it succeeds is because it's something new. And once the shininess wears off, people kind of walk away.
How long ago did the North Stars move to Dallas? How long ago
1993
was that?
They came here. It's exactly. it was six years before they won the Stanley Cup, which a lot of people would say, well, that's – that's pretty quick. You know, if you look at the Rangers and how long they waited for one, and in between cups, and you know, you look at some
Colorado
of the other teams.
Avalanche
still,
won it their first year.
Yeah. The Avs had immediate success. We can't say that Quebec didn't give them a decent team.
Oh no. If it weren't for Eric Lindros, who's you know, still my favorite player because he gave the Avalanche a lot of talent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know, they gloss over that fact, I think, to an extent. And the true success story of the Stars moving to Texas and moving to Dallas, but moving to Texas as a whole, has been the development of hockey. The Stars organization has really taken a large hand in developing some of the players, even in just a small way, by giving them a place to skate. You know, here in the Dallas area, they've opened up, gosh, I'm going to be horrible on the numbers and I'll probably be wrong, so we'll just say several. they've opened up several that basically owned by the team or by the ownership, you know, the management group, start what they call Star Centers.
The Dr. Pepper Star Centers.
And each one of those has youth programs going. You know, they've got minor team, mini might teams. They've got travel teams, and you know, they're competitive.
A couple of them have more than one ice surface in them too.
Absolutely, yeah. Almost all of them do actually have at least two rinks in A and a B. And I can say personally, I've played on several of them, and you know, it's good. It's ice quality. You know, maybe it isn't going to be what you'll find in a rink that's up in the Northeast, but you know, it's certainly better than anything anyone has down here to play hockey. And it wasn't here before, and there's a lot to be said for that. You know, the game really has been embraced. Again, from the roots level, and I think the Stars played a large portion of that. There's a lot of people will tell you it goes back further than that too, and they're right. I mean, you know, there were CHL teams here before the Dallas Stars were here. There were minor league hockey has been in Texas since the late '60s. You know, you had the Dallas Blackhawks here. We had the Fort Worth Wings here, and then later the Fort Worth Ice, Fort Worth Fire, and you know,
is there Fort Worth Freeze?
I don't think they should have been though. That'd be a good name for a team. The Freeze.
You go from the Fire to the Freeze and, yeah.
but you know, there's all of them have been that same kind of. A lot of this, coming back to that CHL brand of hockey and the Texas style of hockey, a lot of them have been that they're not, you know, highly polished scoring machines. There's a lot of depth to the game. There's a lot, you know, there's the hitting, there's the passing, there's the every aspect of the game. So I think that it goes back further than what the Stars did, but really the Stars kind of put gave it a good base to grow from. You know, they took what was here and kind of that seed and kind of gave water and nutrients and stuff and helped develop it even further. To the point where we do have several junior teams, you know, a couple junior teams anyway in the area, and a lot of the players from high schools here are now going on to play junior hockey, not necessarily in the U.S. even, and in the USHL and NHL, but even up to the OHL and to, you know, teams up in Canada, and they're talented enough to play in those leagues that are always been highly competitive.
It's just amazing that there's even a high school system here. I live in Colorado, and there is some high school hockey, but you know, you get two teams together, it's extremely lopsided, or you know, the turnout is very poor or whatnot. I mean, that's a, you know, that's Colorado. That's a cold state.
Absolutely.
I mean,
it's you know, it's, I won't say that there certainly aren't a lot. There are probably many games that are facing that same problem here. You know, it's hockey, unfortunately, faces a tough PR problem, and I'm not sure why. And I think every fan has struggles with that question. Is aren't you watching this game? Isn't this one of the best things you've ever seen? You know, and as fans of the game, it's tough to try and understand why more people aren't a huge fan of this at all levels.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe there is, you know, a certain expectation that they're holding for, you know, all these teams to play like the pros, and you know, it's just not going to happen. Right. So.
Yeah, I mean, the Central Hockey League now, ever since I think the ECHL is down to 22 teams right now, mm-hmm. and even with that many teams, the NHL still needs that level of farm team, you know, to mm-hmm. basically two levels down, and the Central Hockey League has been able to kind of step in and fill that a little bit. You're credentialed you have press credentials with the Allen Americans.
Correct.
What's it like working with a minor league team? I don't know if you've ever been credentialed for an NHL team.
I haven't.
You don't really
I'm not sure at all about it. But it's tough. And I've had CHL credentials previously with the Odessa Jackalopes back at the beginning of the decade here, and kind of got my first taste of on a regular basis of CHL hockey, and it's, you know, being credentialed again this time with my own website and kind of setting my own schedule and my own expectations of what I want for it. It's a lot different. And the league is different. I mean, even in the last 5-6 years, this league has changed so much, mm-hmm. From being just kind of like what we defined before and why Texas likes the CHL, and just being that kind of rough and tumble, you know, hit 'em and score hockey, to being, you know, a hockey league with a lot of respect, and they're starting to, you're seeing more players get that respect in the way of two-way contracts with the AHL and with you know, call-ups to the AHL mm-hmm. on a regular basis and that sort of thing. And I'm veering off from your question.
That's okay.
The being credentialed with the Americans, it's been a really interesting experience because they've embraced me as a blogger in the same way I would expect that they would embrace any of the media outlets out there, traditional media outlets, TV, newspaper, anything like that. And that's been a first for me because I've kind of been on the outside and looking into how bloggers are treated, and especially at the NHL level. And it's not always bad. There's definitely some teams that take very good care of the bloggers that have shown that they want to do a good job and be a respectable outlet and not just, you know, fly by night kind of outlet for news. But it's a little different from that, I think, in that the minor league hockey is looking for eyes. They're really looking for they're looking for to put people in their buildings, and the best way that they can do that is by developing their fan base. And more and more, I think the fan base is moving to the internet and that sort of thing. And I give kudos to the Americans for recognizing that. You know, their media relations person is just fantastic to work with. She's, you know, anything I need to make a request, mm-hmm. you know, I can pretty much get it as long as it's within reason. So any interviews, things like that, if we've got teams coming in that I want to talk to somebody, which makes it really nice as a Texas blogger to be able to get some of those Texas teams mm-hmm. To try and get interviews or try and kind of get a perspective of outside of just where I'm based, be able to talk to other teams and that sort of thing. But yeah, they definitely have opened themselves up to being pretty receptive to the new media and to bloggers and podcasters and, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. So,
yeah. And it's interesting for you because you live in the Dallas area,
right?
You know, or out here, and the Dallas area is surprisingly flooded. I mean, I think it's saturated with hockey right now. You know, two CHL teams, your mm-hmm. NHL team, and a junior team, right. And just a couple hours away in Austin is an AHL team that farms for Dallas. You're not hurting for hockey around here, that's for sure.
No, and it's a nice change because, I mean, if you go back literally, well, even just go back last year, we had the Stars, and we had a junior team, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Texas Brahma, of course. When they were in Fort Worth, they actually last season played in North Richland Hills as well, mm-hmm. and that's when they won. They've won two back-to-back championships now, so they're great defenders of the championship, so I shouldn't forget them.
Did they win last year?
Yes, they did.
Oh, I better not wear my Colorado Eagles jersey because they shut out the Eagles last night. Yes,
they did.
Oh, I should have worn that tonight. Anyways.
They won last year. They got by Colorado after getting by a really tough series with Odessa. So, they've gotten a little almost, I guess you could say saturated, in the area. And I think though, what they're looking at is they're seeing the same emergence of, hockey fans coming out and clamoring for something other than just Dallas Stars hockey.
Mm-hmm.
The Stars have done really well. They had a sellout streak going forever before kind of suffering a little bit in the standings and then suffering a little bit in the attendance as it goes everywhere.
Especially last season.
Last season. But up until then, they had a great sellout streak going. But I think that there were more hockey fans saying, okay, well, is there any other hockey I can go see that isn't going to cost me $100 for, to take my family to, and I'm buying four tickets and I'm sitting, a mile from the ice and I'm using binoculars and I'm, I come out of there spending $150 and feeling like I got held at gunpoint, and these minor league teams have stepped in and said, for $10, you can get a seat that's, it may be our lowest price seat, but it's still a $100 seat in the American Airlines Center.
Easily.
You're going to hear and see hockey that on a level that you wouldn't unless you had a ticket like that. And you could bring your whole family out and be done for, $50.
I think there's a fan development thing that happens with minor league hockey, with junior hockey, where you have the speed of the NHL game, which is wonderful for an NHL fan and people who have been there. And especially after the lockout, as the speed of the game kind of went up, the obstruction went away. Mm-hmm. When you come down, if you're a beginning fan, you want to start out learning something about hockey. Well, come down to this level, it's a little slower, but it's still really entertaining. But you might see a little bit more of the play, a little bit more of what's going on action wise.
It's a great way to develop yourself as a hockey fan to look where the play, as you said, kind of like where the play is developing, because it does go at a slower level and it isn't at that breakneck speed. And if you're really getting, especially if you're getting into hockey, but even to be honest, even people that have been following NHL for a long time, such as yourself or such as myself, I think taking a look at this level, it's really interesting because you can see the kids out there that really have, that they may not make it to the NHL, but they are going to be dominant at this level, and they may even have something more. And it's really fun to kind of see that and watch that player develop, and kind of take it to that next level. and really, it's almost like you can see the epiphany, the little light bulb go over their head and go, oh, that's how it's done.
Yeah.
And then, wow. It's a great way to kind of see the basics of the game, the bones of the game, and learn, what these kids are learning and how they're learning to look for the same kind of things that you eventually get to learn, look for yourself.
And there's also a little bit of a different hockey culture that you see at these, at minor league games in general, from city to city, especially when I was in Laredo, they have, their goal celebration's a little different. And, at the CHL All-Star game, there was a mariachi band that played O Canada, which was awesome.
I caught the feed of that on video only. And I said, my ears are crying right now because they can't hear this.
Oh, it was awesome. I just got a new iPhone and I got video of it. But I have to figure out how to upload that to YouTube and edit it into just that, but it's pretty awesome.
A mariachi band doing O Canada.
Full mariachi band. A guy had a harp. Yeah,
absolutely. And you can't, how can you go wrong with that? Even from just a, just a, you know, you're never going to hear this again kind of perspective. You have to catch something like that. So, yeah, I'm glad you caught that, because that's something I'm going to be looking for sure.
It's awesome. Wait till you see it.
But, yeah, it's like you said, it's a different culture. You get a lot of the you've got a lot of families that are out here, so there's an aspect of it that it's more of a family game almost than mm-hmm. the NHL in some ways. But then you also have, you know, these guys that just come out and you know, they're banging on drums and they've got a great, I'm sure you heard it a couple times tonight with the Americans. They've got some folks that bring out the drums and, mm-hmm. and bang on them in every game. And
it was reminding me of Major League, the movie with the Indians in the stand. And yeah.
Yeah. It was my first thought, actually, when I first heard it. I said, all I could think of is it's too high. It's too high. Quotes of the movie running through my head. But yeah, it's that kind of passion that you can't bring. You wouldn't be able to get away with that at an NHL game even. Right. And there's nothing wrong with it. And I'll be the first to tell you, they'll be the first to tell you, I'll be the second to tell you, they fight that battle probably half the games to be able to play the drums. But at this point, I think they're already an institution, you know, 15 games into the season.
These teams are growing their own culture.
Yeah. They do, and it's fun to watch that. And I think you'll see another aspect of it tomorrow in Texas. And their fans have gotten so accustomed to winning, and the arena that they play in has no small part in that. And I didn't understand how they were so dominant the last couple of years until I went and saw a game there. And wow. I mean, their fans.
Intimidating?
It's intimidating. It is really intimidating.
If you get a chance, you've got to go see a game in Lincoln, Nebraska, the Lincoln Stars.
Oh, yeah.
The most intimidating opening to a game I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
Ever.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
Just the music and the fans. And when they introduce the starting lineup for mm-hmm. the opposing team, the entire arena turns their back to the ice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's wow. ugly.
Yeah, that is. See, and that's – but it is that kind of – even outside of Texas, but that level of kind of things that you won't see at a pro-level mm-hmm. game – but there's atmosphere, and there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. No, it wouldn't fit at a pro game, and it's not that it's not unprofessional. It's just it doesn't fit there.
Right.
It fits there. You know, it fits in Lincoln. It doesn't fit in, you know, San Jose or something like that. It's just one of those things that it makes you appreciate the game as a game, as mm-hmm. opposed to just the, you know, well, what's the best of the best? Let me just look at the best of the best, you know, and that's all you concentrate on. It's the same with any sport. If you do that, I think you lose some of the fullness of it.
Mm-hmm. And where it all comes from. And
absolutely.
Some of the development, the story. It's the story behind the big, I mean, half of these NHL players, they went through this.
Oh, you know? Absolutely.
Yeah, not everybody was a was a big old Sidney Crosby or, you know, Alex Ovechkin and going, yeah, they spent their time.
Wayne Gretzky played in the WHL. You know?
Yeah. Yep. That's true.
So,
well, Ben, thanks. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I appreciate you. Appreciate you talking with me.
Ben Ellis, proprietor, writer for, owns Big D Hockey, all about Texas hockey, minor leagues, the Dallas Stars, the juniors. It's at the very minimum worth checking out just for the different perspective, and definitely worth checking out for a lot of the news that happens around Texas hockey. Ben, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks very much, James.
That does it for part one of episode 59 of The Rink. Part two will be later on in the week. You can always find The Rink at www.rinkpodcast.com, where you can subscribe to iTunes to the show, leave comments on anything that you heard here. You can call The Rink at 845-704-RINK. It's 845-704-7465. And you can email me at rink@rinkpodcast.com. Thanks a lot for listening to The Rink.